This week on Family Anatomy, episode 100.
The hosts of Family Anatomy are psychologists, but they're not your psychologists. So if you want to talk to someone about family or mental health issues, you can get a referral from your family doctor. This show is for information only.
Welcome to Family Anatomy, your source for parenting and relationship information, with your hosts, Dr. Giuseppe Spazzano
and Dr. Brian McDonald, and we are celebrating tonight.
It's not our anniversary.
It's our anniversary is coming up, though.
It is. It's our huniversary, maybe. Huniversary? Is that a word? I don't think
it's our
word.
Centennial.
Centennial.
Our centennial. Beautiful. Episode.
Yeah.
You like that?
I like that.
100 episodes. Can you believe it?
Wow.
It's been almost 2 years we've been doing this show, just about every week putting up an episode, nearly 2 years and 100 episodes in the can.
That's hard to believe.
I'm finding it hard to believe I'm sitting across from you right now.
But you know what? I'm excited. I'm excited to celebrate this milestone.
I think it is an important milestone. I mean, how many podcasts out there get to 100 episodes, first of all, especially when we're talking about, you know, we're two people who we started this knowing nothing about podcasting.
Nothing at all. And it showed, I think, in the early shows.
You know, why don't we collected some clips and all of that stuff. One of the first things that you had to learn how to do was how to create some kind of digital music, because we needed a theme song for the show before we even recorded episode one.
We needed a theme song. And you know what's funny is right from the beginning, I had a sense of what I wanted to convey in the song.
Let's play the old theme song first, and then we'll talk about where your idea came from.
Let's do it.
Okay, hang on. Now, does that bring back memories for you?
It does. And what I was going to say was that, and I'm hearing it again, it reminds me, I wanted to have a song that conveyed the intensity of parenthood, you know, the intensity of a family, of a couple with kids. And
that right away. I remember you brought it into work, and I think you had it on your iPhone. We had iPhones at the time when you were doing all of this. You had it on your iPhone, and we were all plugging in the headphones to hear the song. You were excited that one of the first things I remember you saying is that the tension just increases through the song. You wanted it to be tense.
I wanted it to be sort of in a bed, a nice bed, like a rhythm bed, which is nice and comfortable, right?
Okay, hippie.
But within it, I wanted it to be a rising crescendo of kind of intensity and chaos and laughter and all this, and then ending in a softer way with my kids' voices.
Yeah, that's true. Both your kids' voices are on there. And then around episode 45, last February, I think, the beginning
Valentine's
of last
Day.
February.
Yeah.
It was our Valentine's Day episode, a new theme song debuted, the one that everybody heard at the beginning of the show today.
The new version, yeah.
The new version
that came with my new computer. So I upgraded my equipment and I was able to get a nice hiss-free version of the song, little bit more refined, a little bit less...
Sounds more techno than
Duang, you know?
The original one was rock and roll, and now you've gone all techno.
Did a little techno thing there, yeah.
Yeah.
Modernize it a bit.
You made it super ultra modern, but still you kept the tension and the driving.
Needed to have that.
Yeah. Yeah, that was, well, that was your goal with the whole thing. So you had to really learn. I remember, I think you called a friend of mine who knew about audio production and stuff. So we had to learn about doing that, and it was all experiential learning, right? It's not like we had a manual to read to figure out how to do all of this.
No, but you know, it was fun learning. It's a creative process. That's one of the things that keeps us going. It's a creative outlet.
Yeah, and we were motivated because we had started that thing, and because we'd started this show. And I think one of the first things that we agreed on was that we wanted to treat it like it was something that was going to be fun to do, but we wanted to treat it like a job, because our concern was we would start this, and if we didn't think of it as a job that we had, we would slack off, or we'd lose motivation, or
the quality wouldn't be what we wanted it to be.
And sometimes it's been hard to stay motivated to write our posts every week and all of that stuff, but we've really managed almost 2 years.
That's something.
To continue doing that.
You know, it doesn't feel like 2 years.
Until you go back and you listen to episode
<That's>
one.
<right. laughs>
I have a clip from episode one. Do you want to hear the first words that we said to one another on the podcast?
Sure.
Let's see if we can find them. This is episode one of Family Anatomy, a podcast where we're going to talk about parenting and couples and child development, that kind of stuff. You know, what do you do with your kids?
That's right. We're a couple of psychologists who have kids of our own. I'm glad you kept that sniff.
How old are yours?
Mine are 42 and... No, sorry.
I hope not.
Okay, so yeah, I remember we started that show and we were talking about our kids and what we would name our kids. And that actually didn't go the way we wanted, because we started out saying we were going to have pseudonyms. But really, maybe the odd time we've mentioned our kids' names, but we tend to just say our kids.
Our kids, our older kid, or because we both have two, it's a little bit easier. Our older or our youngest son. So we don't usually use their names. They may have popped up, I guess, if you're an avid listener, you may have heard once or twice one of the kids' names.
The odd time. And, you know, so that was the idea, to have... a show that's produced in a really professional way that brings psychology information to people in, and I think in an entertaining way, because really at the beginning, I remember we were talking about how there's lots of places people can get psychology information. What's going to set this apart is that there's a certain credibility, of course, because we're both psychologists,
right?
But it's also the vehicle we're sending it out in is something hopefully that grabs people's attention, is entertaining, and they're learning while they're being entertained.
That's true, and I know that was one of the very first things that you said. You wanted it to be fun and entertaining, and I think it took us a little while to become comfortable enough behind the mics. Like you said, we wanted it to sound professional. I think our sound has improved over time as we've figured out the equipment and things like that, but I think the timing and everything, too, has changed over time.
Well, we get to feel more comfortable behind the microphones, and yeah, I think that's obviously improved.
You did start out with a joke, though. Your child was 42 years old. What a knee slapper. That was a good one. You had a lot of jokes.
And I'm 90, I said. Didn't I say I was 90?
You had a lot of jokes that you wanted to make sure that you shoehorned in here and there. In fact, you had a few things that got repeated from one episode to the next, right?
I like repetitive jokes.
You do. That's what makes it, in David Letterman's vein, I would say, that's what makes it funny, is if you repeat a joke until the words don't even make sense anymore.
I studied with Letterman.
Clearly, I can see that. One of the first things that came up during the show was that as we were finding our format and figuring out the kind of information that we were going to share, was a history lesson. You tended to be the guy who brought up the history.
I really think context is so important, and I always took that to be a central part of what I could bring to the show. You had other ideas.
Well, I think I felt like at first the history lessons were dragging. I know it wasn't really dragging on, but it felt, sitting across from you, it felt like It felt like I was in a graduate lecture hall again.
Yes.
So the history lessons we're getting, I pulled a clip of it with three people on the show. There's a little clip of one of our early history lessons. Go ahead and press play on that thing.
All right.
It really is going to be interesting because it is so entrenched in our lifestyles. I'm speaking for myself, of course, and I think for Giuseppe and to a certain extent, Dr. Brian.
To a certain extent. Will you listen to this? Because I am less bilingual or multilingual than the people sitting opposite me. Somehow I'm looked down upon in this group.
Well, I'm going to jump in before Giuseppe does because I know he's got a big spiel on history.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
Before we get into the history...
So you, right from the start, we're right into the history lessons, and we haven't really mentioned Dr. Richard, we'll get to that, but even Richard noticed and was giving you a hard time. He wanted to get the history lesson out before you did.
It was giving some of us indigestion, it sounds like.
Is that your first time hearing that episode in a while?
I haven't heard that for a while. I did go back and listen to some early episodes just to refresh my memory of where we've come from.
It's memory lane time tonight,
yes,
for sure.
Is.
So the history lesson. So you gave us some context, but you know what I think happened? Eventually, the history lesson sort of became more of a back and forth and just...
kind of melded into the show.
It became
more
part of the discussion instead of a history lecture that we were reading from a sheet of paper, right?
That's right.
It did change over time, but that wasn't the only recurring theme that happened early on. For some reason, I don't know why or how, but Napoleon Bonaparte started getting mentioned as anytime we mentioned a historical figure in your history lessons, the first person who did this, that, or the other thing was always Napoleon Bonaparte.
Well, he's an old relative of mine.
Sure, because not French.
He wasn't French.
There
See,
we
you
go.
Weren't listening during the history lessons. It was Napoleon Bonaparte. He's an Italian.
Uh-huh.
The French kind of picked him up later and said
they claimed him.
Yeah, they claimed him. But no, he was Italian. So there you go.
There. So you could have been
He's
an ancestor
my great,
of yours.
Great, 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 great times. You know, how many?
Right.
Grandfather.
Awesome. Why don't you press play on that little clip about the Napoleon comments?
All right. You know, because the tantrums, did you know who had the first tantrums? Because you probably think to yourself, wow, there can't be history on tantrums. But there was actually a definitive time when
tantrums were first. This show is about...
Is it not about tantrums?
Well, no, it's
are we talking about multilingualism?
Really? No, wrong show.
You guys don't even want to know that Napoleon Bonaparte was the first guy, first baby to have a tantrum?
Well, I don't know about that.
I don't know about
that. I think I had both of you going at one point there. It sounded like you actually believe me.
Of course. We believe everything that you tell us. Napoleon Bonaparte was the first in a lot of ways.
Yeah, I like recurring humor, and that happened, I think, more in the early episodes. But there was another one that I engaged in that I brought the two of you into. Let's hear that.
Oh, yes, this one. Okay, go ahead. See if you can find that on there.
Yes. Now, just I'd like to share a little something with the people out there, if it's okay with you.
Sure.
Dr. Brian has an addiction.
Yes, it's true.
To fine mixed drinks and soft rock.
Usually the mixed drinks are concentrated orange juice and water.
With the little umbrellas.
I don't, you know, that came out in the first episode, I think, right?
Yeah.
And came up a few times after that.
Yes, it did.
Yes, I think.
It ripens with age. It's like wine.
Yes, there were various drinks that I was addicted to or Richard Bolduc was addicted to. There was one little recurring thing that you started doing that was a little bit more recent to the point where we had to say, whoa, wait a second. We got to stop saying this every single time we do it. And that was when we started on the top, on at the end of every month, we do our three things episodes where we talk about three different stories from the website, right? Press play on that clip. On that clip. And we are talking once again about three things, three news stories from the familyanatomy.com website. We tend to do this at the end of every month.
Three things from the website.
Three things, three very important, very interesting stories from our website.
I thought we were going to talk about three personal things from your life. Three research things, correct? Not three things that any three whims that you might have. And we're not going to make any jokes about top three things.
No,
once again.
We've been doing that over and over.
It's our
again.
New Year's resolution, even though it's not New Year's.
So there you go, our little top three. You didn't know I put the rim shots in there for you.
No, that was good.
I thought that would help people to understand that you were trying to make
a
joke.
I'm glad you're putting your musical skills to good use.
That's the extent of my musical skills, a rim shot, a comedy rim shot.
That's good.
There you go. That's how you know it's comedy. Now, you heard another voice in some of those clips, though, a voice from the past that we haven't heard in a while, at least in recorded form.
Dr. Richard Bullduck, who joined us at the beginning.
Close to the beginning. Well, when we were starting up, in fact, it was Richard who came up with the name for the show. We were trying so hard to think of a name for the show that fit with what we wanted to do, but that also had a domain name that we could
right.
get.
And I think we had Deconstructing Family, Anatomy of a Family.
Well, that's what he said. We said Deconstructing Family because we thought, oh, each episode it could be deconstructing this or deconstructing that. And I know it was Richard who said, well, it has kind of a negative tone to it. What about Anatomy of the Family? And that got twisted around into Family Anatomy somehow, and here we are today. So Dr. Richard was around right from the beginning, but also right from the beginning, he was very clear about the time commitment.
That's right. And it was going to be hard for him. Our original studio, we should say we've changed studios. We started in a studio in the far east end of town, and he lived in the far west end of town. So we've kind of centralized it since then. But since we centralized it, he had already decided that it was just too much of a time commitment
for
him.
And it is funny, though. When I went back to listen to the old episodes to pull out some of those clips, you and I were the only ones together in the first episode. And one of the things I said right from the beginning is, I don't know how long we're going to be doing this because podcasts destroy relationships.
Right.
And where's Richard? Richard still works with us. We still,
yes, he does.
We still do see one another. He never really had time to put the time in for the kinds of things that we're doing here.
That's it. But funny, he's a fan of the show. He's always telling me about how he reads the website in particular. He's reading a lot of our posts, and he likes the work we're doing.
Well, like we said earlier, it took us some time to figure out the pace and to not step on each other as we were talking. And I think sometimes I had to speak pretty loud to get a word in edgewise when you had something to say. But that only came over time and with practice, right?
That's right.
And poor Richard, he would join us maybe for a couple of episodes every four or five. And sometimes his appearances were few and far between. So we would kind of get a rhythm going and figure out what we were going to do. But Richard didn't have the same involvement just because he didn't have time.
That's it.
So he really had a pace that he wanted to set when he first started recording. Click on that one over there.
Let's hear some of that.
Do you guys have a little bit of history around addiction models? Do you know where it come from?
I know I'm a chocoholic.
Well, no, you guys are iPodaholics. Or iPhoneaholics.
I think each of us has two or three addictions.
We
so
do
let's,
like
let's
our...
not pick on anybody in particular.
I don't.
Not a single one.
The term addiction really appeared. I'm getting into history now. Let's move on.
Yeah, let's just plow over.
Let's get out of
go
here.
Ahead. Yeah, okay, let's get this done so we can go home.
The term addiction actually, very interestingly, Giuseppe, since you're a history buff.
So we don't even have your answer, but Richard had notes that he brought with him, and he wanted to make, didn't matter what we were talking about, he wanted to make sure we got to the next point so he'd be ready to go home when it was time to go home. But you know what? It's not only Richard who will make little flubs like that, right?
No, no, we've had a ton of outtakes ourselves.
Oh my gosh! In fact, I had a bunch from one episode that I had saved, and this is only from one episode. And I was sort of putting things together today. My son, my older son, was homesick from school, and we had worked on the audio recording software before. So he was watching what I was doing, and he said, "Well, why don't you put some music behind that and make a song? Wouldn't that be cool?" So this is what my son and I worked on with Giuseppe's help in the form of flubs.
Let's
Here
hear
we
this.
Go. Here's a little song. You know?
You know? Okay, so anyway. It's... You know,
So we're going to dedicate that one to Dr. Richard Bolduc, I think, who's not with us tonight. that was not even all of the flubs and outtakes from one episode.
Yeah,
of
that's
the show.
Probably the least embarrassing ones if you think about it.
Well, I think it's still family friendly, right?
Yes, it is.
I had to be careful what I put on there. So it certainly wasn't just him. We have added some other things to the show since we started, right? Well, I can't remember if this was something we added after an episode or two, but at the end of every episode, we've always had our top three things.
That's right. And, you know, that was like the way the show developed. The format of the show is we'd talk about our personal experiences at the beginning. We'd roll that into research that's out there on that particular topic. And we wanted to have three things that parents could take away at the end of the show that might help them in a practical way.
We always wanted to make it practical. And I remember when I was in high school working on presentations and things like that, my dad used to go to a lot of presentations and give presentations. And he said his favorite ones were the ones where the presenter would say, okay, here are the three things you need to remember from what I've said here in the last 2 hours. He felt like that really made everything clear and helped him to remember the most important information at the end of a presentation.
Crystallizes things for people. How many times have you been to a presentation and the next day someone says, so how was it? And you have sort of a general sort of, it was good or was okay or wasn't very good. But when they ask you about it, it's hard to find out what the salient points are that, you know, without really thinking hard about it. It's nice to have it crystallized by the presenter.
When you're talking about all these different research studies and maybe they don't all find the same things, I think it's important to walk away with, well, here's the useful information from all of this. And often there were themes in the top three things, right? It would be about communication or planning ahead or being prepared, things like that. But we always wanted to make sure that parents had a walk away, and that was one of the things that we wanted to do. We added later on a website of the week. That was something that came quite a bit later, right?
And right.
Part of that was because we were starting to get hooked up on Twitter and Facebook and things like that. And I was meeting a lot of other people who do similar things to what we do.
You've done I have to say, Dr. Brian has done a ton of the technical stuff on the show because that's what he knows. He knows a lot of that stuff and he's just very good at it. And you know what's interesting is when I listened to the first episode again yesterday, we talked about the website right away, familyanatomy.com.
Yeah, we wanted to have that set up. I think we even had the website up before the first episode was done because we had to buy we wanted to make sure we had the familyanatomy.com name. And so we had a place to put some information. Initially, the website was just going to be some place where we could talk a little bit about when the new episodes were coming out and things like that. But it didn't take long before that snowballed into something quite a bit bigger, right?
Yeah, and I think that's really gotten better and better as we've gone along, and we're both, I would say, proud of the work that's up there.
I really am, yes. And the whole website of the week thing was just a way of us helping to share information that was being provided by other people who were doing similar things to what we were doing.
And you know, another great thing is that we've had, I think, 14 different guests on the show.
There have been quite a few people who have come on. For some are people that we met through Twitter, and not that long ago we talked to our first website of the week, who's also another recent website of the week, Allie McDonald, from notimeforflashcards.com. And she had a really great site that we wanted other people who are listening to our show to know about.
That's right. And we've had a lot of authors on the show. Barbara Becker-Holstein.
Stanley Popovich and Brenda Nixon.
Yeah, we've had a parenting coach. We've had psychologists.
We had some people when we were at the Canadian Psychological Association. It's funny, right? Because this was just something the two of us started, and then we went to the CPA annual conference, and we were a little bit nervous about approaching people who were speaking to ask them if they wanted to come on the show or get involved somehow, because most people don't know what podcasting is, I would say, at least in that venue.
Right. And I mean, you know, we approached some world famous psychologists, and you know, we had Elizabeth Loftus on the show, and we've had David Elkind on the show, Dr. David Elkind. So it's been an interesting run.
It certainly has been an interesting one, and it hasn't. So we've had some guests. Now, we've had some famous guests, some authors, or some people that we've met through Twitter or Facebook, or even some people from our personal lives. Someone I went to school with, Jillian Graham, was on the show as well. But we've had some extra special guests too, right?
Yes, we have.
In fact, I think your entire family's voices have been on the show, right?
I've tried to get everybody onto the show.
You've shoehorned them in.
my wife does that part of the intro that says we're psychologists, not your psychologists.
Yeah, I started out doing that, but we thought it would be good to have someone else say that part.
Yeah, and my kids are doing some of the laughter on the tracks at the beginning of the show.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And now both of my kids are involved, one at the very end, and one says the top three things. You know, that's my younger son shouting top three things whenever we do the top three at the end. And my other son says familyanatomy.com. My older son, and at the time that we were doing this, Family Anatomy was a tongue twister for him. It must have taken about 10 tries to get Family Anatomy.
You know, and I think, you know, we've learned ourselves, because we've done so much research for the show, we've learned a lot ourselves and kept up to date with a lot of stuff. And so some of it's come through research. Some of it's just come through our experience as parents. Like, I know, you know, we've had actually my son on the show one time talking about school. And
why don't,
you know,
we play that for just a second before we go on?
What about the kids from last year?
Last year I'll play Bakugan. And
are you looking forward to seeing them?
Yeah.
Do you miss them?
Yeah.
So you want to go back to grade one? Do you want to go to school, or do you want to just stay on summer holidays?
Well, yeah, I like holidays.
Right. But do you want to go back to school, or you just feel like staying on summer holidays forever and ever and ever?
Maybe I could go like to school for like on only on like Mondays and all the holidays on the other days.
Oh. That's what I say about work.
I think that's what we both said. That's right.
So you know, I've learned, and I think this is something that parents can take away from our celebration episode, let's say. There's a lot of kids, when you go to ask them about what their day was like, you hear good, okay. Mm-hmm. You don't get a lot from them. And I can only imagine when they become teenagers, right? But what I've started to do lately is I say, hey, you know what? I'm going to tell you about my day, and then you tell me about yours. So there's a bit of modeling there. Something that we've brought up a lot of times three things to remember at the end of an episode.
Mm-hmm.
Or I'd say, what's the best thing that happened to you today?
Yeah.
Or what's the thing that was hard for you today?
Yeah.
One thing.
What was the best part of your day? What did you learn today? I often ask the kids, and they'll come back and say nothing, but every once in a while, they learn something really cool.
And persistence, I guess, is important.
I learned something yesterday, a really great 8-year-old joke.
Okay, let's hear it.
What's invisible and smells like carrots?
I don't know.
Rabbit farts.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a grade three. That is aces in grade three, I'll tell you that much.
Well, I got one from my son, if we're going into that.
Okay, go ahead.
Here it is. Okay. What do you call John Bon Jovi when he makes you laugh?
What? I don't know. What do you call?
John Bon Jovi.
Good one.
Like that one.
Yeah, did he make that up?
Actually, no, I made that up, but I'm attributing to him because it's funnier.
You're And you're honest to a fault on the show. That's really good.
I couldn't help it. You had to go ask me.
So sorry, I didn't mean to do that. So we've heard your guy. Now, there was an early episode that we did, and I think you were sick or something, and Richard was busy and couldn't do it. But we needed to put something up. We didn't have anything left. We usually record a couple at a time so that we have a few weeks in the can. But we didn't have anything left. So I came on and talked about something for half of the show, and then I had my son on. And what I learned from that experience is that you have conversations with your kids, but if they're in front of a microphone, you don't get the same information that you do when you're just
All bets are off, too.
All bets. You never know what they're going to talk about. We started out talking about video games, but this was where it went.
Maybe about TV shows, about Battlestar Galactica.
About Battlestar Galactica, which you've never really watched?
Only one. Okay. One and a half, and then I slept with Mom.
Because it was too scary?
No, it's because I was... it's because it wasn't that scary for me, but it was probably my bedtime that time.
Okay. It was his bedtime. He listened to that today and laughed and laughed. He thought that was great. You could tell he was talking into the mic, right? I told him, you have to put your mouth right in front of the microphone, and he was yelling into that mic.
Yep.
So we've had our whole family on there. So that's definitely been something that I've enjoyed, having the kids involved and having them know what it's all about.
No doubt. No doubt. And so where do we want this thing to go in the future?
Well, we've had a few things come up recently that might impact what we're doing here on the show. And one of those is we've had someone locally invite us to come and give a bit of a talk for parents having to do with things happening in their kids' schools.
Right. And so there's that going on. I guess we're trying to continue to expand the website, maybe get some guest posts on the website.
Yeah, we've had a couple of emails from other bloggers or from other psychologists. And we certainly, let me say this, we definitely welcome emails or guest posts from, well, anyone out there. I would say primarily clinicians, right? Because we're psychologists and that's the kind of information that we put out there. But if you're a psychologist or a social worker or someone who does some kind of therapy or counseling and you'd like to write a little bit about what you do or provide some information for parents, that's something that we would welcome. You can email info@familyanatomy.com and we can go from there. So we'd certainly welcome that.
That's it. And, you know, we're always going to be thinking about new and creative ways to expand and make the show more interesting and accessible to people. That's what we want, is an accessible, family-friendly show. So we're looking forward to that.
Absolutely. You know, I'm hoping, I enjoyed so much going to CPA last year. I'm hoping that you and I can go together to some other conferences and talk a little bit with the speakers and find out, hey, right now, what's the cutting edge? What's the new information, the brand new things that are being done out there that we can share with parents, maybe even before they get published?
That's right.
So, you know what? That's our show for today.
That's the end of our 100th show.
Wow, we're in the three digits now. We're old. Our centennial episode is almost in the can.
It almost is.
Imagine that. You know what? I have a website of the week for you.
You do? What is it?
You ready? familyanatomy.com.
That's crazy.
Let's put ourselves up as the website of the week. It's 100 episodes. Hey,
yeah,
it's a celebration.
That's great, actually. What about it?
Yeah, let's do that. Okay. All right. Hey, why don't you do the closing?
Well,
you've got it rehearsed, right? You've got it right there.
I do have it. It's right here. That is it for us. And you can visit us at familyanatomy.com on our website, or you can email us at info@familyanatomy.com. And as always, Dr. Brian has an announcement.
Well, we've just finished episode 100. So, hey, if you like what we do, you can always throw us a vote on podcastalley.com. Email us some comments. You know, we're finishing our 100th episode, but our second birthday is coming up too. So we have another celebration there. If you want to send us an email or send us a message on Facebook or twitter.com/familyanatomy, you can drop us a line and let us know if you've listened to what we're putting out there or if you've used any of the information that was helpful. Send us your suggestions too. We always like to get that. And as usual, we'll leave you with a bit of a tune by Brother Love, and he's over at brotherloverocks.com.
Thanks for listening. It's a family thing. Hey! You know what to do. FamilyAnatomy.com